Welcome to Bible Stories for Blasphemers. This is not a theology, history, or morality podcast. It is simply a podcast where stories from a very popular book are told by a moderately adequate storyteller. And if you were expecting family-friendly language, I'm afraid you won't find that here either. Enjoy.
Sonically, that's going to be good.
Okay. Welcome to Bible Stories for Blasphemers.
Welcome. This is a podcast. We did some drum roll, and I don't think that worked.
No drum roll.
Usually there is theme song overlapping a little bit of our welcome, so we didn't really.
You have a candle here that it just smells so good.
You lit that last time you were here.
Oh, I did? I just can't help but like be like, oh, this is nice.
It's a very good candle.
Yeah. It's vanilla pumpkin. It's not the season, but no, I love the
both of
those
smells. I just felt like
smells.
I wanted it to be the season.
Yeah, it's almost the season.
If you think about it, June is almost October.
Yeah, that's true.
Intro of the podcast today.
Yeah.
I have had 4 hours of sleep.
And today is the worst day ever, because today's the day that Roe v. Wade was overturned.
So it is June 24th of 2022.
We're not at our best selves right now.
I woke up at 6 in the morning on the floor in a building with fluorescent lights because I've been part of a sit-in protest.
Yeah.
Not on Roe v. Wade.
Dan is doing God's work. And that's why we're here today.
I'm doing the work of queer Jesus.
Yeah.
And we're here today.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening.
I love it. We both have energy drinks.
Yeah.
You were kind enough to get me one.
Because once again, I did have 4 hours of sleep, and I am 30, and I can't live like that anymore. But the children did.
The children needed you.
The children did keep me up very late while educating me about One Direction, so now I know everything about One Direction.
Plus, like, that's so classic, like, 20-year-olds are like, oh my god, 4 hours of sleep, you're fine.
Yeah, they were 22-year-olds, but
well, yeah. But still. Last time we met was about a million years ago. Since then, we have gone to a concert together. That was really fun.
Oh my god, yeah. Ugh. We went to a Halsey concert.
So good. We saw Halsey, incredible. You guys. It was amazing.
It was truly changed my life.
Changed our lives. You know what I forgot to tell you after that concert was that I walked back through the parking lot, that big rocky parking lot, weaving through people trying to leave in my broken shoes, and I did not fall over once.
Oh my god, I'm so proud of you.
I just thought you would be.
I was very worried about you. I had to go home in a different car from Mariah, because she lives in a different place now.
I broke my shoes, like,
immediately.
A minute after getting out of the car. It was great.
They were not the best shoe choice that you maybe could have made for a concert.
Well, the thing is, if they hadn't broke, they would have been fine. Because the thing is that I didn't expect was that there was going to be a bunch of fucking rocks.
Yeah.
And once I wasn't on the rocks anymore, it was fine. But then when we got to the concert part, it was like, well, I can't jump wearing these because they're broken.
Yeah, that is the problem.
So it's not my fault, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Anyway, I did make it back out alive, thankfully, and so did Dan. Who's being distracted at this very minute by breaking news alert.
I'm sorry. The kids at the protest are still texting me.
Oh, what did they say?
They're just organizing who is there and who's getting food and what's happening.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Cute. Anyway.
Time to serve the Lord and stop serving the underrepresented youth of today.
I am not here to serve the Lord. I brought tarot cards into a Christian university. I am serving the devil, and here we are.
Here we are. Hi, I'm the devil.
To blaspheme the name of God.
I'm the devil in my name.
I'm fired up.
Okay. As we grab the dictionary. Or the dictionary. The Bible. Fuck, I ruined my own joke.
The dictionary of rules is what this is today. Do you remember what was last time?
Do I remember what was last time? Give me a sec, because I did listen to the episode.
Okay, that's good.
Just a sec.
I can just tell you.
No, don't tell me.
But now I'm going to have to edit all of this silence out.
Okay, fine. What is it? I forgot.
We talked about the Ten Commandments.
Oh, right.
Yes, we did.
Okay, what was the first one?
You shall have no other gods before me.
Oh, yeah. And what's the second one?
Do you want me to go through all of them?
Can you?
Don't have any other gods before
me. Right, okay.
Don't make idols.
Oh, yeah.
Don't take my name in vain.
Right, okay.
Sabbath. Have it.
That's good.
Honor your father and mother.
Okay.
No murder, no adultery, no stealing, no false witness. Right,
now I remember, because those last ones feel like, oh yeah, duh, I have to add those.
Yeah, and then the last one is no coveting.
Right.
Which is great, way more difficult than all of the rest of those.
Yeah. Bearing false witness is a really cool one, but, okay, yeah, I remember that now. Thank you for the reminder. I don't remember anything, like, story-wise other than that.
Well, the story...
No touching the mountain.
The story was, like, no touching the mountain, and then God came down in a big, scary cloud and lightning and stuff on the mountain, and then it was a volcano, and then we didn't understand volcanoes.
That's right. That's how that episode ended.
That is that episode.
Yeah.
It's not even how it ended. It's just how it happened.
It's what unfolded.
So, the Ten Commandments were given, and today we are going to try to get through a bunch of other rules that were given, and a little bit of story that goes with them.
Okay.
The Ten Commandments, God gave them to everybody. Everybody could hear the Lord speaking these words.
Mm-hmm.
And once God finished saying these Ten Commandments, all of the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking, which was...
Yeah. Volcano town.
Which was what God was doing. Which is
what derailed us, yes.
And when the people saw all of that, they trembled and stood far off, because they were scared, because of course. And then they said to Moses, "You speak with us and we will hear you, but do not let God speak with us, lest we die." They were like, we just heard God talk and really scary shit happened.
Well, yeah, didn't God say that, like, no one can hear me or else it'll kill them?
He didn't want anyone communing with him. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But they hear the voice of God, and they're like, that's terrifying. I think we're going to die. You need to go talk to God, and we don't want to hear any more directly from God, because otherwise we will be killed.
Wow. Have you seen the movie Dogma? Have we talked about this?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh. At the end, Alanis Morissette plays God. But she doesn't have any speaking lines, because... they're like, if she says anything, your heads will blow up, basically.
Interesting.
Yeah, and so I wonder if that's, like, kind of the, like, you know, if you hear God's words, it'll...
Yeah, like, it's very, reminiscent.
Also has Alan Rickman in it, and Chris Rock. It's a movie.
I think we have talked about this. So they were like, hey, you need to go talk to God for us. We're going to stay way back here. And Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin." So he's right. like, don't worry about it. You're supposed to be scared of God.
Yeah, the like concept of God-fearing is a yeah. thing.
Yeah. He's like, you're supposed to be scared of God so that you're scared of sinning and you don't mm-hmm. sin. Mm-hmm. So fucking follow the rules. Everything is as it
yeah.
should be.
Yeah.
So the people stood far off, and Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was.
Wow. Thick darkness.
Yeah. Spooky cloud on the Very. Mountain. And then the Lord said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, let them know, you have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. You shall not make anything to be with me, as in to be on the same level as me. So, gods of silver or gods of gold, you shall not make for yourselves. So okay, this so is kind of the no idols thing again. Yeah. yeah. But this is very important. So he says it twice. And then he also says, an altar of earth you shall make for me. And you shall sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen, which is what they've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
In every place where I record my name, I will come to you and I will bless you. This is basically like in every place where something significant happens, build an altar there, what they've been doing. And then he says, and if you make me an altar of stone, you shall not build it of hewn stone. For if you use a tool on it, you have profaned it.
Wow.
So he's saying you need to make an altar to me out of dirt, out of mm-hmm. earth, or out of stones, but not bricks.
Like it not like you can't carve it.
Not carved stone, yeah. not like... And I don't know why, but I like the idea of God being like, just use the natural environment.
Yes.
Yeah. And then here's... the absolute wildest part of this chapter is the end of this chapter, because we stopped in the middle of one last time. Nor shall you go up by steps to my altar, so that your nakedness may not be exposed to it.
Wait, what?
God is basically saying, don't make it so that when you go up to the altar, you stand on steps, like, above it,
mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to see up your skirt.
No, that doesn't make sense. That's what does that have to do with steps, though?
It's saying if you go up steps mm-hmm. to the altar so that you are standing above the altar rather than it being above you,
mm-hmm.
If God were in the mm-hmm. altar and God were looking up at you.
Right. But who's standing over an altar?
I don't know, but they felt the need to okay. say this, so apparently someone was.
No standing on the altar, okay.
No standing above the altar. Because gotcha. I don't want to see up your skirt.
Well, at least he's not, you know, a perv.
God's not a perv,
yeah.
but God is a little bit of a perv. He is very involved in sex lives sometimes.
I'm interested in learning more about that.
So, now we are going to go through a lot of rules, and I am going to do my best.
So, there's 10 commandments, but then there's, like, a lot of rules.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about what types of rules they are and go into the more interesting ones and then not go into the boring ones.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, the first set of rules is talking about how to treat servants and slaves.
I hope it says to do that in, like, a nice way.
Kind of, and also kind of not.
Oh, no.
So, if you buy a Hebrew servant, which is, like, an indentured servitude situation, have them serve 6 years, and then on the seventh year, they should go free. And and pay nothing. So mm-hmm. like their indentured servitude is complete after yeah. 6 years. If he comes in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he comes in married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master has given him a wife, and she has borne him sons or daughters, then the wife and the children are still the master's.
Ah, don't like that.
If the servant says, I love my master and my wife and my children, and I would rather not go free and be parted from them,
be it.
Then the master shall bring him to the judges and bring him to the door or the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him forever.
Oh my god.
So pierced ears were like a sign of servitude.
That's so fucked up.
Yeah, so that's pretty fucked.
Yeah.
There's also a thing all about if a man sells his daughter to be a female slave.
Not like a wife or anything.
But yes, kind of as a wife.
Okay.
It says, she shall not go out as the male slaves do. So she's not going to be released after 6 years.
Oh. Of course not.
If she does not please her master, who has betrothed her to himself, so who is planning to marry her, then he should let her go. He shall have no right to sell her to a foreign people, since he has dealt deceitfully with her. So he just has to let her go.
These rules are so dumb.
If he has betrothed her to his son, he shall deal with her according to the custom of daughters. If he takes another wife, he shall not diminish her food or clothing or marriage rights. So that's nice.
Yeah.
To be like, you can't show favoritism against one of your wives.
Yeah.
I guess. And
your indentured wife.
If he does not do these things for her, then she shall go out free without having to pay her way out of the indentured. Whatever. So
sucks to be a woman is what
a little bit progressive for the time, but not that good, not that much.
Well, they don't get to leave unless they like finagle their way out, but there's no like natural expiration for their service.
Yeah,
that's fucked up. I hate that.
Pretty fucked up. Yeah. There are now rules about when people hurt each other or get hurt by accident. So
I have that like in my renter's insurance contract. This is what happens if someone gets hurt by accident.
So I'm not going to go through all of these because they're kind of boring. Okay. But there's like, if you get in a fight with someone, if you like hit someone and they die, then death penalty for you.
Wow. What if they hit first? I'm serious.
It says, he who strikes a man so that he dies shall be put to death. However, if he did not lie in wait, as in if he wasn't premeditating, if he wasn't like trying to sneak up and get somebody, then I will appoint for you a place where he may flee. So he could be banished instead.
Okay.
If he didn't do it on purpose.
Not very forgiving, but
okay. If a man acts with premeditation against his neighbor to kill him by treachery, then you may take him from my altar and he may die. Anyone who hits their parents should die. Anyone who kidnaps someone and sells them the way that happened to Joseph, they should die. Anyone who curses his parents also should die.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's a tough one.
Yeah. I think we'd all be dead.
I think it wouldn't be good.
I think humanity would cease to exist. Like the teenage experience involves cursing your parents.
Yeah. And then there's a lot of stuff about injury where it's not death necessarily, not death penalty for that, but if you hurt someone and then they become disabled, then you need to pay them. And if they lose work for a while because you hurt them, then you need to pay for their lost work. Mm-hmm. And if you hurt their cattle and their cattle dies because of a thing you did, then you need to pay for the cattle.
Okay.
Etc.
Gotcha. So I think what happened while this was being written was someone just left a scroll out on a table, and then over the course of a month was just adding things to it as they thought of them.
It's quite possible.
Yeah. I mean, how else would it have happened?
Someone could have thought of all of these rules and wrote them down.
All at once, though?
I mean, sometimes you can make notes.
Yeah.
Write some bullet points and then write it out.
Yeah. Do you think they made a story map?
A story map for the Bible.
For the rules.
For the rules of the Bible that aren't even a story.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. Oh. Probably not.
Okay.
I
just thought I'd ask.
There is one interesting part is talking about if men fight and they hurt a woman who is pregnant and she gives birth prematurely, but no harm follows, then the person who hurt her should be punished, depending on, like, how the husband would like to prosecute him.
It's not even the wife that gets
accused. Yeah, no. but if she gives birth prematurely and harm follows, meaning, like, she dies or the baby dies, then...
As a result of a man hitting her.
As a result of a man hitting her, then it's like, then you get the verse, you shall give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe.
Wow.
So.
Very poetic.
Just go ahead and get them back in whatever way they got you. That's in the Bible. So when people say the phrase, an eye for an eye, that's from this.
Well, yeah, isn't Gandhi the guy who was like, an eye for an eye leaves the world blind?
That might be Gandhi.
So was that like a critique of Christianity, you think?
Probably. Gandhi was not a Christian.
No, exactly. Exactly my point.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Probably. Or just a critique of like violence in general.
Probably both. Yeah. And then we get to a bunch of rules that are about like theft or, scamming people and that kind of stuff.
Ugh, there's one about scamming.
There's stuff for like
don't scam people.
There's stuff for like, you know, don't tell people that you're gonna give them a thing and then give them a worse thing. Like,
okay, no Ponzi schemes.
Yeah, no Ponzi schemes.
Gotcha.
There are
the stock market wouldn't work well in this
world. Yeah, there are in here a few things in here that are interesting. That are like moral laws.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, if a man entices a virgin who is not betrothed and lies with her, then he should pay the bride price for her to be his wife. So if you if you have sex with a woman that is not engaged to you, you do have to marry her. Which, in this time, is like, that was the only way that women could own property or anything, so I guess that's helpful to her.
But what if, like, the person who did that was, like, already married?
Well, they could have multiple wives, so it didn't matter. Okay. It also says, if her father utterly refuses to give her to him, then he shall pay money according to the bride price of virgins. Wow. So he still has to pay for his wrongdoing.
God, that's so crazy.
Yeah. There's one in here that is single sentence, you shall not permit a sorceress to live.
That's fucking awesome.
Yep. that one is used a lot when people are like, don't do tarot cards.
Well,
don't play Magic the Gathering.
There's an episode of the TV show Firefly where they do a quote supposedly from the Bible that says, mm-hmm. thou shalt not suffer a witch to live.
That's probably this.
Probably this. Yeah.
I believe that that was probably culturally referencing a specific Canaanite or Hittite or something type of...
You like mean they, like there was like a person they were referring
no,
to?
No, I think there was probably like a specific culture that they were near that had a like practicing witchcraft situation.
What I take from this interpretation...
I'm very sorry about the fact that you can probably hear a plane in the background.
Yeah, but...
My window's okay.
You'll be okay. What I kind of interpret from that is... Just don't trust a woman who claims to be powerful, because of the fact that it just says don't trust a sorceress.
It says don't permit her to live.
Oh yeah, don't permit a sorceress to live.
Just kill her.
Yeah, but like it's like they just said sorceress and not sorcerer is like okay, so any powerful woman basically just fucking kill her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Following that, there is...
This is a really dark day, you guys.
It's a bad time.
Yeah. We're seeing the worst in everything right now, and that's okay.
Following that, whoever lies with an animal shall be put to death. That's so that's fine. Good. Yeah, yeah, that's don't fine. Do that.
Don't do that.
Unless
it's a dolphin, because dolphins can, like, rape people.
We cannot go into dolphin rape.
Yeah.
He who sacrifices to any god that is not this god, mm-hmm. Shall be utterly destroyed.
Damn.
Not just killed.
That's not true, though. There's so many people he didn't utterly destroy.
Well, it, as in, you should, under the law, utterly destroy them.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Don't mistreat or oppress any stranger in your land, because you were strangers in the land of Egypt.
Yeah.
So that's nice.
That's nice.
Also, you shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If you afflict them in any way and they cry out to me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath will become hot, and I will kill you with the sword. Your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless.
Fuck yeah. The sword? What sword?
The sword. And I assume that this is referring to violence caused by other men.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Violence. By the sword, like, you're going to be in war and you're going to die. Yeah,
violence
whatever.
Caused
by
war, battle, etc.
Okay.
Yeah, which is interesting because later on, God is like, hey, kill all the women and children. So,
And also earlier, God was like, I'm going to kill everyone.
Yep. Yeah,
it's several almost times. Like, it's almost like,
it's almost like this God is not consistent because many different people are writing about it.
I was just going to say that.
It's crazy.
How did you know?
Yeah. continuing on. I had to hiccup.
Are you going to be okay?
Yeah.
They were just gasping at what they just read.
Oh, no. I'm going to skip over some more boring stuff. There's more stuff about don't circulate a false report or bear false witness.
Yeah.
There is stuff about, you should save some of your harvest for poor people and, like, have a specific system of, like, on the seventh year of the harvest, letting that be harvested by poor people who don't have their own land.
Poor people only get to eat once every 7 years.
Well, yeah. I imagine that it's being saved as grain and
or
such.
If it's like a metaphorical way of saying, like, just give 1/7 of your shit to the poor.
Yeah, basically.
The number of Christians who don't give any money to the poor.
Mm-hmm.
How high do you think that is? Like, percentage-wise?
Pretty high, considering what a large percentage of people call themselves Christians.
Yeah.
In this country.
Yeah. A lot of poor people are Christians.
Yeah. There's also a problem, and this is me working in the nonprofit sector, with nonprofits and charities that claim to be serving the poor but don't actually act in the best interests of the people that they claim to serve.
Yeah.
Especially
any nonprofit that is run by a church. You should immediately be skeptical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Churches should not be tax exempt. Thank you for your time. Okay. So that is a few chapters worth of rules that we go through.
So everyone's just like in fucking study hall listening to God talk about...
No, this is just Moses listening to these.
Oh my God, so Moses is just taking furious notes.
Yeah. Okay. He's just writing this all down on stone tablets, yeah. I guess. And then this is interesting because this is not something that we ever talked about, I feel like, when I was taught this shit.
Okay.
God finishes up talking about the first set of rules here. He's gonna do more. But he goes, behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. So I guess there's an angel.
Uh-huh.
Beware of him and obey his voice. Do not provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him.
Wait, what? I'm confused. I'm sorry.
The him here is the angel.
Oh, okay.
Beware of this angel and obey him and don't make him mad. He's not going to forgive you if you fuck with him.
Jesus.
My name, God's name, is in this angel.
So he's just saying there's going to be an angel that shows up and...
There's an angel that's either going to show up or perhaps has already showed up that is going ahead of you as you travel.
That's kind of creepy.
And...
I would like, actually, this feels like the beginning of a horror movie. I wouldn't like to be told that.
Yeah. And he's going ahead of you and be scared of him.
Yeah.
He's not nice. He's me and not nice. And it really does feel like I was never taught this, like, God's name is in this angel. And like,
oh, that's what he means. Yeah. I thought he just meant, like, I am him, not he knows my name.
I think what it means is God is saying, like, part of me is in this angel.
Uh-huh.
Which
is
wild.
So maybe it's Lucifer, Morningstar, etc.
That's not...
Maybe it's,
Lucifer, Morningstar, not a character in the Bible.
I know, you've told me. Maybe it's,
Is it early proto-Jesus? We don't know.
Well, what if it's early proto-Lucifer?
Not a character in the Bible.
Yeah, but... Is this who he's based off of?
No.
Okay.
This is a random angel.
Who the fuck invented Lucifer then?
I will talk about that at some point.
Was it Dante?
It Paradise Lost. Yeah. And that's Milton.
Milton, okay.
Yeah, basically that's who invented it. But also, Lucifer / the devil is also kind of based on the concept of the god Pan from pagan mythology.
Oh, I didn't know that. We'll get into it. I actually didn't know that. Okay, sorry.
We will get into it. Not in this episode, but next time we do a pagan mythology special.
Speaking of, shout out Summer Solstice.
Yeah, we missed Letha.
We didn't miss it.
Well, we didn't do an episode about it.
Yeah. That was intentional.
Summer Solstice.
We didn't miss it.
That was intentional. Yeah. We didn't mean to.
We have so many years of podcasts to go, you guys.
We're only on Exodus, folks.
Like, we're going to have many a Summer Solstice to discuss, I promise you. Many. And when we finish this stupid book, we're going to find another stupid book. So just...
Yeah, we'll get to Milton.
We're doing this until the day we die.
Yeah. Yep. This is a till death do us stop this podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
So, this angel is going to go before you. If you obey his voice, the angel's voice, and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries.
Fuck yeah.
For my angel will go before you and bring you in to the Amorites and Hittites and Perizzites and Canaanites and Jebusites and all of them. All
right. What about the sprites?
And I will cut them down.
What about the sprites?
The sprites?
Yeah. Like the soda.
Now, it would be much cooler if you were talking about fairies. Or the fairies.
Yeah, it's
thank
the fairies.
You.
That's
okay.
What I meant.
All right.
The sprites.
So, if you obey this angel...
Okay.
I'm going to send him ahead of you, and he's going to somehow...
That has his name.
Somehow, he's going to cut down your enemies before you get there.
Okay.
You shall not bow down to their gods, the enemy Jebusites and Hittites, etc. Don't bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do according to their works, but you shall utterly overthrow them and completely break down their sacred pillars.
That's such a really badass way of saying fuck these people up.
Fuck these people like, up and destroy all of their temples.
Would it utterly dethrone them?
Utterly overthrow them.
Overthrow them.
And completely break down their sacred pillars.
It's like, metaphorically, that could mean so much. Like, I need you to break this person. I need you to drive them to the edge of insanity.
So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless you. He will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you.
Wow.
Just there will be no more sickness.
Nice.
No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land, and I will fulfill the number of your days. Everyone's going to live to a ripe old age. Mm-hmm. Everyone's going to be great at having babies, and no one will be sick in the promised land. If you obey all of the shit this angel says.
Right.
They're definitely not going to do that.
Yeah.
Because that's not a thing that ever happened.
As far as I know, there's
yeah. That never happened.
But, you know.
God then says, I will send my fear before you, and I will cause confusion among all the people to whom you come, and will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. I will send hornets before you, which shall drive out the Hivite and the Canaanite and the Hittites. I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you.
Okay.
So he's saying, like, I'm not going to drive them out all at once really fast, because otherwise they're going to leave behind a whole bunch of shit that's, like, hard for you to manage.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, little by little I will drive them out from before you until you have increased so and you inherit the land. This is just
Palestine and Israel.
Well, sure sounds like it.
Okay.
Sure sounds like that might be. Then he specifically says where the promised land is going to be, mm-hmm. where there will be no more sickness or barrenness or any of that.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to be from the Red Sea to the sea, Philistia, and from the desert to the river. So that's cool.
So it's just saying this is your territory.
This is your territory.
Okay.
Yeah. And this is kind of where the idea of, like, Israel, promised land, mm-hmm. boundaries come from.
Yeah, because, like, we knew that they were headed toward the promised land ever since they left Egypt. Now
we know where that promised land is.
Where it is. The whereabouts.
Okay. Yeah. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you shall drive them out before you. You shall make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against me. For if you serve their god, it will surely be a snare to you.
So, like, I wonder how much damage that fucking sentence has done over the course of existence, you know?
Mm-hmm. And this is also fucked up because all of these people, according to earlier books, are related to them.
Yeah.
And also, the current situation with Jewish versus Muslim peoples, the Muslim peoples... The Hittites and Canaanites, etc., were not Muslim at this time.
Yeah.
They had their own religions that were all just getting fully destroyed.
Really? So they were like some other kind of religion that no longer exists anymore?
Much like other pagan religions, like there are lots of pagan religions, religions that got wiped out.
I assumed since all of these ites
mm-hmm.
supposedly stem from, what's his name?
Abraham.
And the side of the lineage that isn't the chosen son, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't, you know, like, all the Abrahamic religions they come from.
They do come from the same mythology.
Okay. At least one of the same. Because, like, I imagine they have a tree where they branch and, like, diverge, where they're like, well, I don't believe that anymore.
Yeah. Yes. But the, I believe, as far as I've been taught, and maybe I was lied to, Judaism existed as a religion before Islam existed as a religion.
Well, that would sort of make sense, but do we decide, have we said that Judaism exists at this point, or no?
Judaism is what God is teaching them now.
Okay, so this is the birth of Judaism.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Islam has not been invented yet, which is why the Canaanites, etc., have multiple gods, have these polytheistic religions with idols and things that God is warning them against.
I wonder what they believed. It was like a Middle Eastern paganism that we just haven't preserved.
I believe parts of it definitely have been preserved, but I just have not looked into it.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about Middle Eastern religions except
Middle Eastern, like, early mythology. I definitely could find some of that probably for you and let you know next time we record.
Yeah, that'd be fun and cool. Mm-hmm. Especially because I really didn't think that there was, like, a ton that stemmed from that. I was just like, okay, I guess that's what Islam is.
I keep hiccuping.
And no, you're just gasping. Like,
it's because of this energy drink. I am going to say that's probably where we should wrap today is with this, like, spooky angel and the promise of taking over the promised land.
Right.
Because next week we're just going to talk about a bunch of temple rules and then get to the story of the golden calf. We're going to skip over a lot of the temple rules.
Do we ever find out more about the spooky angel?
Not that I remember.
Are you kidding me? They're just like, there's this fucking terrifying angel out there. And then we never hear about him again.
I mean, God continues to talk about, like, the angel of the Lord helped them with this thing. But there is no way for me to know that that's the same one.
Yeah, they're not. I don't know. That's weird. It's weird.
It's all very weird. Is there just one angel? Is there many angels? We actually don't know.
It really annoys me that our only windows are this, like, unreliable narrators into what people thought back then.
Yeah, I mean, that's mythology, baby.
I know. It's a shame.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I wonder, like, were there people at that time who were like, okay, I understand the importance of writing down, like, you know, some things, like genealogies and, like, whatever. But I wonder if there's people who were like, yeah, I understand the importance of writing down just facts about our way of living. And, like, maybe that was in the library that got burned down.
The Library of Alexandria.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we're all pretty upset about that.
We're all still, like,
we're all still the baggage upset
about the Library about of Alexandria that. will never die. It's just like, what was in there?
All of us are pretty mad.
Yeah. I was so mad at the time. Oh my God, when I found out. Okay, I think it's time for Dan to take a break so that they can go into cryo sleep and come back in like 5 minutes.
Okay, sounds good.
Fully rested.
Relaxed and rested.
I hope you guys liked our weird harmonic.
That was not thing. I wasn't even trying.
I was. So, Dan.
Yeah.
In today's Pop Corner, this very special episode is about Christian schools.
Okay.
And you may think, what does that have to do with pop? Nothing.
It's a school.
It's a school.
Most people go to school.
Most people go to school. So that's popular, right? School's popular.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I went to a Jesuit university, despite not being raised Christian whatsoever. They did not have any requirement of my religion or really have anything to do with religion that I could tell, other than they had something that your school also had, which was called U-Core classes. And they also had this weird thing that I only know religious schools that do this, where their course numbers are four numbers instead of three.
I don't think that is religious based. That's probably, I don't know what that is.
The only schools I know of that do that are Christian schools. I have no clue why. But anyway, this is all to say. So it's graduation time, right? And yeah. I went to the Seattle U, my school, graduation. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't for any, like, school pride or anything. It was just because I had a friend who was graduating. But, yeah. But, like, I did feel this really strange amount of pride while there because I was like, okay, like, yeah, this is awesome, right? Like, I went here. I recognize, like, these professors. I recognize, you know, the school president, all that stuff. And and it was just kind of a cool experience to see people, like, being excited about my school, you know. Mm-hmm. And we're sitting there waiting through the graduation process. And it starts with, like, they start with an opening prayer called the invocation prayer.
Yeah.
Did your school do that?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not just a Catholic thing. It's like a just Christian thing.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the convocation, same thing. Yeah, okay.
That is not a thing that, like, my churches would have done, but, like, for graduation ceremony type stuff, they would do that.
My school would do that for, like, any big...
Yeah, like, ceremonial stuff. Yeah.
So, it wasn't, like, a huge part of my everyday life, but it was also, like, oh, my chemistry professor were, like, one of those collar things, because he was a priest. But he was also
collar things.
Yeah, but he was also a chemistry professor, and also he volunteered to watch the reindeers that they would let people pet.
Watch the reindeers.
Yes, my school, every Christmas, would get reindeers during the last week of that around Christmas time, you know, of school. So it was like kind of a, you know, come take a break from studying and hang out with the reindeer and have some hot chocolate. And he was the like person who would manage that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
My chemistry professor was really cool.
All right.
But it gave me a whole new outlook on what religion in school is like, because I was so hesitant before going. Like, if they hadn't offered me a really great scholarship, like, I probably wouldn't have gone.
Yeah.
I was so hesitant because I didn't know anything about Christianity, and I was like, how Christian are they? Like, they say they're progressive, but, like, what the fuck does that mean, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, they were totally right. They were a very progressive school. They, like, at the invocation for the ceremony thing that I went to, did like an acknowledgement that we're on stolen land
and
like
yeah.
where like the guy who was given an honorary PhD said the most fucking, he was a priest and he said the most fucking insane like speech of like, don't be like my generation. My generation left you a world that's literally burning, where you can't be yourself, where you're gonna get persecuted just for wanting to make a choice for your own reproductive rights. Like, he was so liberal that it was like,
that's great.
I know, I was just like, wow, dude. And then the very end of it, he goes like, you know, I'm really sorry for like what my generation has handed off to you, and I don't think you should forgive us. It's like,
fuck,
Jesus.
Yeah, my dude.
Yeah, I know. So it was like, holy fuck. And then that same day, I found out that, like, another Christian school in the Seattle area, the one you went to,
yep,
it had their graduation ceremony. And because of this, like, you can talk more about it, but, like, their graduation ceremony was literally a protest because of how fucking shitty the school was being and is
so,
still being.
Yeah, that's the sit-in that I've been at all week, that I just spent 24 hours at, but was at other days of the week as well. I graduated from Seattle Pacific University, who I will call out publicly on a podcast. I don't give a shit.
Yeah. You would think, like, two universities in Seattle,
yeah,
like, would be pretty similar. Especially since they're both technically Christian.
It's the difference between the Protestant and Catholic methodologies here.
And the fact that
if you are a Protestant denomination, people expect you to be evangelical.
Here in Seattle, too?
Just everywhere. And they expect you to follow, to toe the evangelical line.
Jesus.
Which is why the school that I went to has still, in 2022, a anti-LGBT hiring policy for faculty and staff. Which...
I read the... They have this terrible word for the policy. It's like an employee, like, conduct expectation or something like that.
Yeah, lifestyle expectations.
Yeah, oh, it's like the most disgusting way of saying
students
it.
Students also had that when I went to school there.
You couldn't be gay or just a lifestyle expectation in general?
That was one of the lifestyle expectations.
Really? They don't make students do that now, though.
They don't make students do the gay part now.
But that's, like, the bare minimum.
But they still have other ones on there that are, like, you know, don't sleep with people and don't...
Which is do hilarious.
Drugs or have alcohol on campus.
It's so fucking funny that you think anyone who would have sex or do drugs will now be deterred because you said that. It's so
well,
funny.
The thing is, like Brennan Lee Mulligan, you know, laws are threats. laws are threats. And the lifestyle expectations were threats of, if we catch you doing this, you will get into trouble.
Yeah, no, that's a really good way of looking at it. A law is, like, I've had to explain this to my parents before, who tend to vote very idealistically.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be like, okay, I get that you don't think that people should do drugs, but do you think people should be put in jail for it? Because that's what it means.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you're voting for. Yeah. It's like, people make laws based on ideals, and it's stupid. Stop it. Stop doing that.
Stop doing that. We have a flawed justice system.
It's really dumb and bad.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So, there have been ongoing protests against that particular policy
it's
throughout.
A fucked up policy. I recommend you look it up because I couldn't believe it.
Yeah,
I couldn't believe it.
It's honestly, there's a lot of nuance.
It's not just
that
that's fucked up either.
Yeah, there's a lot of problems with the policy, and there have been protests, various kinds of protests throughout the year about it, and there were protests about the lifestyle expectations in general and LGBTQ stuff back when I was going to school there too. But they were much louder and more vocal and have been getting more vocal over time. And within the past couple years got to a point where this year there was a basically an ultimatum of like, you need to find a way to change this policy in whatever way works for you, in whatever wording you need to make it, but it has to be changed, it has to be updated, or else there's gonna be
a problem,
a lawsuit.
But this has been, like, because I remember the first article I read about SPU doing this to, so, like, the kind of, like, triggering instance most recently was there's a particular professor or faculty member
who couldn't get tenured.
Who couldn't get tenured and went to, like, Seattle Times about it or something.
Yeah.
And
because of the policy.
Yeah, and I remember hearing this several months before the sit-in ever started. And
yeah,
now
the sit-in has not been going all year. Yeah. The sit-in is basically happening.
The sit-in is, like, the final exclamation point to this, like, okay, fine, we're gonna sue you.
It's the last resort before a lawsuit. Yes.
Yeah. So my school had a sit-in when I was there. It was not because of any, in my mind, it wasn't because of anything in school policy, as far as I know. It was because of, there was this one, you know how, like, a university has, like, different colleges? There was this one college called the College of Matteo Ricci, which is that college where you basically get to, like, make up your major.
Okay.
And I think every college has one. Interesting. Yeah, or maybe not every college, but if you're a special college, you can make up your major. Okay. And like some, and it does have to be like approved and stuff, but yeah. You can kind of like self-direct your major. And in that college, you know, I didn't really attend any classes in it, unfortunately, because I didn't do a liberal arts major at all, which is yeah. where all those classes were. So, and that was like the cool liberal arts classes too. Like those are the really niche cool ones mm-hmm. that you would actually like enjoy doing.
Yeah.
And I never got to do any, but I guess the dean at one point of the dean of that college when a student came to her saying like, you know, none of our programs involve any history of non-European like literature or uh-huh. you know, social studies and of any kind, essentially mm-hmm. or like very few or not enough, whatever. And you know, the student, I think it was a black girl, and the professor was a white woman, like an older white woman, and she handed the black girl a book that I think had the N-word in the title. I don't fully remember the whole story, but it's like, if you Googled it, you would probably find yeah. an old article about it. And so that was like kind of the inciting incident. And that yeah. was like, okay, this started a big dialogue. And it as it always is, institutions make it seem like we're acting so fucking like out of line.
Yeah.
It's just that when we try and ask you nicely, you shut us down.
Yeah, you don't. Know? That's,
you don't fucking listen when I ask nicely.
That's what happened yeah. with SPU. There were a lot of conversations and yeah. dialogues before we got to sit in yeah. and lawsuits.
And then people attack the protesters, like, yeah. wow, they're being so extreme and so, like, over the top. Like, you know what I mean? And that was the exact same shit happened at my school. Yeah. And it was a totally different thing. It was like it did end up happening that dean, was like asked to resign or let go or whatever. And that was the really only demand. So it happened, and then the sit-in ended, and, you know, they were like, we're going to restructure the Matteo Ricci College. So like it, whatever is more, whatever the fuck they yeah. said. Who knows if it ever actually happened. But that was the sit-in experience at my school, which I never participated in. And you have graduated
many
a year ago.
I did, in 2014.
And you're like, I have to help the babies. I think it's very nice, and I wanted to shout that out in the pop corner. Yeah,
I love them, and I want them to have...
Yeah,
things
and if
to
you care about little baby gays, you should tweet at SBU and tell them to fucking change your stupid policy.
Yeah, Seattle Pacific University, the Board of Trustees specifically, is the problem. Yeah. Huge percentage of the faculty, staff, professors, yeah. students are all on board with changing this policy. Yeah. It is just the Board of Trustees.
It's so, that's what's so funny about it. It's like, you would think this would be so similar to like my college experience. And it is, essentially. Mm-hmm. It's just the board is a piece of shit.
The board is a piece of shit.
And so like all the faculty, all the students are those great, awesome, or not all, but a lot of them are like those really cool, awesome people who... just wanted to go to a Christian school, you know, like
yeah.
whatever. Or they're maybe like me, like that was where they had a scholarship.
Yeah,
and,
it's a good
you know,
school. It has a really good
yeah.
nursing program. It
has a
like,
good film program.
To go there, yeah.
Yeah. It's just wild to me how like there's a difference between like a Jesuit school, a Catholic school like Notre Dame, totally mm-hmm. different thing. Mike Pence would never be asked to speak at any Jesuit school, I don't
yeah.
think, you know? It's wild how all these different religions are, like, essentially the same. And yet we still find our ways to wrap our political ideology around whatever we believe.
Yep.
Yep.
And with that, folks,
with that,
I need to go.
Yeah.
I need to shotgun the rest of this energy drink.
And you
need
to
run Dungeons and Dragons.
And you need to, everyone who is capable of giving birth, please... take care
of
if you ever
yourself.
Need if you have a uterus. To come to Washington because we're a safer state for reproductive rights. We have a good network. Just tweet at the podcast. We'll find you a way to
stay here. Well, maybe email us because
yeah. Or email us.
Twitter is not safe.
Yeah, it's Twitter is scary.
Yeah.
Emailing is good too.
Anyway, we love you, and this day is pretty fucked up, but you're here, yeah. And I'm glad you're here.
I'm so glad you're here. We're so proud of you. Mommy and Daddy love you.
We love you very much. Mwah. Mwah. That was a kiss on your forehead.
Mine was on the cheek.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll see you later, bye. Everybody. Goodbye.